something today that I made, and they're really, really good. And the truth is that I actually made them for PJ for his birthday, but it got kind of bad weather, and nobody wanted to get out and do much of anything, and I didn't take them to him, and he didn't come get them, so I still got them. So today, I'm going to share them with you guys, because it's something I really, really like. They're these little brownie squares, and they got like holes in the middle of them, and I fill them with like cream cheese and sugar. Can't get any better than that. Chocolate, cream cheese, and sugar, right? So, I'm going to share them with you, but not yet. I want to talk to you a little bit about share. So, when we have exciting news, we want to share it, right? So if you were to meet somebody famous, like, who'd be somebody you'd like to meet famous?
The guy that plays Iron Man.
And who's somebody really famous that you'd like to meet? Like somebody that's maybe a dancer or a somebody on TV that you see? Don't know? Well, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. I figured if Brighton was here, he'd say, probably want to meet Michael Jordan. So if you were going to have a meeting with somebody like that, that was really famous and really cool, would you just keep that to yourself or would you want to tell everybody? Yeah. Would you want to tell everybody? Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Just like if you do something good, like in, well, like with your dance. When you do something cool with like dance, don't you want everybody to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we like to share those cool things that happen. Well, our scripture today is about John the Baptist meeting Jesus and realizing he was Jesus for the first time. And so he wanted to share that with everybody. He's like, this is the Son of God. The Lamb of God has come. And so he started telling people. He started sharing about that. Right? Just like you'd want to share. So then those people started sharing about, hey, the Lamb of God is here. Jesus has come. And it's the good news. So they started telling people and they started telling people. And pretty soon, here we are all these years later. And people are still talking about Jesus. And that's what he wants us to do, too. He wants us to share that we know Jesus. So what are some ways that we could share that we know Jesus? You know Dawson?
He died on the cross for us.
And would you just tell somebody that? That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Yeah. That's how you'd share that you know Jesus. You could also share Jesus by, like, if you took your Bible to school and you showed people your Bible, your friends, your Bible, and say how important Jesus is to you. That's the thing. It's like you gotta know that Jesus is important to you because you are important to Jesus. He only created one Briley and one Dawson and one grandma, right? There's nobody else like us in this whole world ever before or ever again, but he took special time to make you, to create this world, to give you to the parents he gave you to. And we're grateful for that. And he died on the cross for us. And so that we want to share that with everybody else. So we can do that by being kind, by talking about Jesus, by inviting people to our Bible school or inviting them to church, and just being the light of Jesus in everything we say and do, right? Okay, so we're going to learn more about that as time goes on. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating us, for loving us, and for saving us by dying on the cross. We love you, and our hearts should be bursting with joy knowing that you have saved us, and we should want to share that with everybody we see, no matter if we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 10, 12, I think Dawson's going to be 11, or whether we're much, much older, we can still be sharing that you, Jesus, are our hope and whom we love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now.
Today's Old Testament reading is Psalm 41 through 11. I put all my hope in the Lord. He leaned down to me. He listened to my cry for help. He lifted me out of the pit of death, out of the mud and filth, and set my feet on solid rock. He steadied my legs. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise for our God. Many people will learn of this and be amazed. They will trust the Lord. Those who put their trust in the Lord, who pay no attention to the proud or to those who follow lies, are truly happy. You, Lord, my God, you've done so many things. Your wonderful deeds and your plans for us, no one can compare with you. If I were to proclaim and talk about all of them, they would be too numerous to count. You don't relish sacrifices or offerings. You don't require entirely burned offerings or compensation offerings, but you have given me ears. So I said, here I come. I'm inscribed in the written scroll. I want to do your will, my God. Your instructions is deep within me. I've told the good news of your righteousness in the great assembly. I didn't hold anything back, as you well know, Lord. I didn't keep your righteousness only to myself. I declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I didn't hide your loyal love or trustworthiness from the great assembly. So now, you, Lord, don't hold back any of your compassion for me. Let your loyal love and faithfulness always protect me. Now, please stand for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel reading is John 1, 29 through 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, this is the one whom I said, he who comes after me is really greater than me because he existed before me. Even I didn't recognize him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be known to Israel. John testified, I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove, and it rested on him. Even I didn't recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, the one on whom you see the Spirit coming down and resting is the one whom baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this one is God's Son. The next day, John was standing again with his two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus walking along the road, he said, look, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard what he said, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he asked, what are you looking for? They said, Rabbi, which is translated as teacher, where are you staying? He replied, come and see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two disciples who heard what John had said and followed Jesus was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated as Christ. He led him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated as Peter. Here ends the reading. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let the words I speak be those that you want spoken. Let the words we hear be those you want heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How would your life be different if you were not a Christian? For some of us who have been surrounded by Christian people all our lives, it might be hard to imagine. For others, we can remember what it was like. We can remember the darkness and the lonely feeling of being lost. We can remember the desperation and feelings of hopelessness. Some of us wouldn't be alive right now if Christ had not saved us. So how about you? How would your life be less or more or just the same? What would you miss about church? Now, I can't sing, but I love to sing. So I would miss singing in church because all you drown my voice out. I also would miss being surrounded by such a community of love and acceptance. Which of your friends
would not be your friend if you had not embarked on this Christian journey. If you had never met the people in your Sunday school classes, the folks you fellowship with and serve with, how great a loss that would have been. How would your family change? What would be missing? How would you spend your time differently? How would it be different about your attitude towards your neighbors? Would you know what love is? What do you do because you are a Christian? Do you feel good about the time you have spent helping strangers in the name of Christ? Have there been experiences you would hate to have missed? Experiences of God's grace? Times you cared for hurting people? If you were not a Christian, would your life be less fulfilling? Every once in a while, I believe the disciples probably wondered about how different their lives would have been if they had never met Jesus. It all started out so innocently, so unselfconsciously. John the Baptist was standing with two of his followers when Jesus walked by, and John says, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples were understandably very curious. They started following Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following him and asked, "What do you want?" Or, "What are you looking for?" Now that's the most fundamental question in life, is it not? The disciples answered Jesus, perhaps a bit nervously, "We thought we would see where you were staying." In other words, "We don't know what we are doing or what we want, but we are looking for something. We are looking for something to fill us. Our lives lack meaning and purpose. We are unsatisfied. We are searching and seeking. Could you be the one John told us about?" And then Jesus offers them the invitation that will change their lives big time. "Come, and you will see." They ended up staying with Jesus for the entire day. They had no idea what they were getting themselves into. They didn't know that they would end up leaving behind their nets, boats, homes, friends, work, and retirements. They would end up changing their ideas about almost everything. Notice the time is recorded. It says it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Many think that the reason this detail is here is because John, the author of the gospel, was one of the first two disciples himself, and he could tell you the very hour of the day and no doubt the stones on the road he was standing on when he met Jesus. At 4 p.m. on a spring afternoon in Galilee, life became a new thing for him. But let's also take note of Andrew. In verse 41, we are told, "The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah. We have found Christ.' And he brought him to Jesus." There are only three times in the Gospel of John when Andrew is brought onto center stage. In each of these incidents, Andrew is bringing others to Jesus. Andrew is a great example for all of us. He could not keep Jesus to himself. It's amazing, miraculous, and true. God works through people and depends upon them to introduce others to Jesus. Andrew's story is unfinished until his witness brings others to Christ. And the same can be said for all of us. I'm aware of a long list of people whom God has used to bring me to Christ. How about you? Mothers, youth leaders, pastors, and friends. Who has God used to help you to be brought to Jesus? Whose witness has inspired your belief? More than likely, some persons have brought you to Jesus by example. Others have probably influenced your faith by simply spending time with you. And still others have probably influenced your walk with Christ by teaching God's word and by telling you about God's work in their lives. So how do you influence others to become followers of Jesus through your words and actions? In what ways is it apparent that you are unable to keep Jesus to yourself? Jesus asked the first disciples, "What do you want?" or "What are you looking for?" It's the most fundamental question of this life. What are the people who live in the homes surrounding this church building looking for? How about co-workers, classmates, and friends? Deep in their souls, are they not looking for the same that we are all looking for? Something to believe in and to hold on to? Something important enough to live for? And something big enough to claim their adoration and praise? Are they not looking for challenge and purpose? Are they not looking for God? Those wristbands with the slogans or the bumper stickers that asked, "What would Jesus do?" they're a good thing. They challenge us and make us think. Perhaps they help us change direction or follow Christ's ways better. But how about wristbands or bumper stickers which would beg the question, "What would John the Baptist do?" Or "What would the disciple Andrew do?" Would not the answer be, John would point others to Jesus, and Andrew would bring others to Jesus? And these are things that we can all do, and that we are all called to do. How are we intentionally bringing others to Christ? How do our lives point towards Jesus? Often, what begins with curiosity becomes a step towards grace. The emptiness people feel from time to time can be used by God to call us to the paths that lead to meaning. God makes us long for something that lasts. God draws us toward life, even when we don't know what's happening. Come and see. That's how the disciples' story began. This is an invitation to get a glimpse of God. And if we catch a glimpse of God, we will catch a glimpse of who we can be. The people who follow Jesus end up doing many kinds of things that Jesus did. They care for the hurting, listen to the lonely, feed the hungry, pray for the brokenhearted, bandage those who are wounded, and do more than is expected. They seek God and find amazing and extraordinary lives to live. How would your life be different if someone had not pointed you towards Christ or brought you to Jesus? And the real biggie is, how would your life be different if Jesus, turning around and seeing you, had not asked you, "What do you want?" or "What are you looking for?" and then invited you with the great divine initiative to come and you will see. We are all called to help others find Christ. We are all called to point others to Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to live out our calling. Help us be like Andrew. Help us be like John the Baptist. Help us point people to Jesus. Help us bring people to Jesus so their lives may be fulfilled, So they know the happiness of following Jesus and living like Jesus wants us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.